Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, hey, what's up? It's me. Normally I have a little intro music playing, but for whatever reason, the computer wants to be stupid. So, I'm here. What's up? Live version of the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary. It's 8 o'clock on the East Coast, May 14th, 2019. We've got a very interesting show to do tonight. I kind of did a show on the subject a while ago. Let's see if the music's not going to... Is it going to play? Nah, I don't think so. God. Wait a minute.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Okay, that was supposed to happen at the beginning of the show, but yeah, we got it in. So, all right, so back to the discussion tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about cognitive dissonance and how it applies to the cult of Trump. Let me give you the call-in number if you want to call in tonight, because I didn't have to do a 12-hour shift today. So I should be able to take calls until about 9:30, a little bit afterward. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And if you are a Trump fan and want to call in, feel free to do so. The one thing I have learned over these past couple of years is not to argue with Trump fans. Arguing with Trump fans is like arguing with a toddler. You ain't going to win. But I think tonight's discussion is important because this guy, and I've been saying this from day one, this guy is a fraud. He is a phony. He is full of shit. But for some reason, the people that like him don't care. And they don't care that you know that they don't care. And they will follow everything this clown says. They believe it. His own network is Fox Noise. And every time he gets on there and spews garbage, his fans believe him. It doesn't matter what he says. Every time he opens his mouth, he lies. And they believe him. The same people that thought Obama was a Muslim think this clown is a Christian. And they believe him. When he says that these tariffs on China will not hurt the American people, they believe him. I mean, anytime he opens his mouth and says something stupid or does something dumb, they believe him. And anytime you show facts to the contrary against what they believe, they won't believe the facts. They will believe what he says. And he has the traits of a dictator. He's leading this country into fascism. And this country is screwed. And it has been screwed before he showed up, but it's really going to be screwed now because his fans believe everything he says. And, you know, that's why I say don't even argue with him. Don't even waste your time. Just hit him with the facts and then just keep it moving. Don't waste your time with these people, because they are going to believe anything he says. Doesn't matter what it's going to be about. And it's called the cult of Trump because this, you know, you could say that if you're old enough to remember Jim Jones, who was self-appointed preacher back in the day. He led his flock all the way down to South American jungles. And ended up killing, along with himself, everybody at this outpost or whatever it was, by getting the people to drink Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. That's why when people say, you know, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, that's where that term came from. Men, women, and children drunk this Kool-Aid along with him, and they ended up dying. Because they believed everything this guy said. And it followed every one of them to the grave. And in a way, this guy, Trump, is like that. Because there are just some people that no matter what he says and no matter when you hit them with facts, they don't care. And I think everybody has probably had a little bit of this where you thought that you believed something, and then when somebody gave you the the other side of it or the, you know, facts or whatever about it, then you change your mind. I mean, I'm like that, you know, we're all like that. But we all, most of us don't get pissed off and out of shape or whatever. My thing is, if, you know, if you show me, if I believe in something and you show me the facts and I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. I got no issue with that. But there are some people that they believe in what they believe in so much, when you do show them the facts, they'll get all bent out of shape. They'll get mad. They'll start calling you names and all this other kind of stuff. You know, I went through this with religion. I'm not as religious as I used to be. And that's because I learned some things, some facts, some other things that I didn't know about. So my view on religion has changed. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing because we all have brains. Most of us have common sense. And a lot of us don't use our brains. And I think sometimes we get into thinking one way that anything else that comes around is a threat. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And this clown is the same way. I mean, he made so many promises when he started, when the campaign started. He promised people all kinds of crap and has not, you know, when he kept talking about the wall, we're going to, you know, Mexicans, Mexico is going to pay for a wall. We're going to kick them up, blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. It hasn't happened. But they believed it. I say to this day, I keep saying, I've been saying this for the longest. I think one of the main reasons why that guy got elected is because a lot of people in this country, and I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, this country is racist. This is a racist country that we live in. Now, I'm not saying every white person is racist, but there's quite a few of them that are. And a lot of them were mad that we had a black president in the White House for 8 years. And they want that black man out of the office. So what do? When the elections rolled around, they didn't care what white man they had to pick to get in there, but they picked the dumbest white man they could find. They weren't going to elect a woman, because if they're having this debate now, that there are a lot of people that are not ready for a woman president. So they weren't going to vote for a woman. They believed the lies about her, about her, and they didn't vote for her. So they got the dumbest white guy they could find, and they put him in. And he lied to him. He lied to him about the wall. He lied to him about the tax breaks, which a lot of us didn't get. He lied to us about fixing health care. I haven't seen it. I mean, he lied and lied and lied and lied. And people still believed him. And when Obama was in prison, the bar was set so high for him because he was a black guy. that bar now, that same bar that was raised so high for him, is now dropped so low for Trump. It's so low that a worm can crawl up underneath it. And the people that like him don't seem to care. They don't care. When he said that he loved uneducated people, he wasn't lying. He was not lying about that. Because people that are not that educated are easier to rule. You know, when you don't have that much education, you don't have that much common sense, and you can't think for yourself, you're a whole lot easier to get over on than if you're somebody with common sense and somebody that asks questions and somebody that think for yourself. You're not going to get over on those kind of people. But if you ain't Oops, somehow or another got disconnected. My bad. Anyway, but if you're at least a little bit educated, it's going to be kind of hard to tell people like that what to do, how to think, that type of thing. But with Trump, he can say something, do something, and people will believe. Just like he said, he can shoot somebody in the middle of New York, and he'll still have fans. He probably could do that, and they still would probably won't blink an eye about that. Because there's so much into him, you know, and he's a con man. He's a phony. We were warned about it. Matter of fact, I tried to tell people. A lot of other people tried to tell. We tried to tell people, but nope. He got in anyway. And I thought Bush was dumb. This guy is dumber than Bush. He has no business being in government. He gets away with doing stuff that anybody else trying to do would not be able to do it. When Jimmy Carter was president, he was only president for one term. But when he was a president, when he was the president, he owned a peanut farm in Georgia. When he became president, he had to divest himself from this peanut farm. That's the law. You think Trump has divested himself from his business? No. He says he has, but he hasn't. Every time he goes to play golf at his golf course, who's paying for that? We are. And his fans, you know, they hate a lot of things. They hate people that talk about him. So I know they don't like me. They hate facts. They hate history because there's a history on this guy. And they hate videotape. Now, when this guy was running, he said on tape that I'm going to be too busy running the government. I got things to do. I can't be playing golf. This clown has played golf more than any other president in history at his golf courses. And every time he goes, who pays for that? We pay for it. And then he said, "Oh, I don't get a salary. I give it away." No, you don't. No, you don't, because you love money so much. You're not giving away money to nobody. And he lies and he lies and he lies, and people believe him. Believe him. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They don't care. But see, that's privilege. You know, that's the difference between white folk and minorities. White folks are the majority. They make the rules. They can break them or they can bend them however they want to bend them. And there's nothing we can say about it. Well, we can say something about it, but he breaks the law. He does what he wants to do. And the Republicans won't say anything against him, because if they do, he'll get on Twitter in the middle of the night, and all he's got to do is tweet out something about somebody, and that's all she wrote. That's how scared they are of this clown. They're scared of him. He'll lie, he'll lie, he'll lie, and they won't say a word to him. They let him get away with all kinds of crap. I have gotten into arguments on social media with his fans, with the way he treats these athletes. I've been to the White House. I've taken a tour of the White House. I've stuck my head in the Oval Office, because they won't let you go in the Oval Office, but I've stuck my head in the Oval Office and looked around. I've sat in the chairs where they have press conferences, where they don't have them anymore because, you know, they get asked tough questions and they can't have tough questions, but I've sat in those chairs. I took a picture in front of the podium. I took a tour of the Rose Garden. I mean, I've been down in the kitchen, the dining room. I mean, I've had a tour of the White House. So there's no way you can tell me that when these athletes go to the White House, which I wouldn't go, not in this current situation, not in this current now administration, that they can't go into the kitchen and cook these people food. Instead, they have it bought in, hamburgers, chicken McNuggets. Do you really think I'd get to put on a three-piece suit to go have a hamburger? But what his fans say, oh, that's an honor. They need to go, blah, blah, blah. And that's all they say, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like when they talk, just like the teacher on the old Charlie Brown cartoon, wah, 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 and that's all they talk about. How dare you talk about Trump? He's the greatest president we ever had. Wrong guess. He's the worst president we ever had. He don't care about you. He don't care about me. He really don't care about me. I'm not of the persuasion. And you really think he cares? No, he don't care about nobody that don't look like him or don't have deep pockets like him. You know, you can't put your family members in high offices in the White House, but he's done it. Nobody said anything. You can't have an election or whatever meddled by, for years, the Republicans told us that Russia was America's greatest enemy. But now we're buddy-buddies with him? Really? This clown has dissed all of our allies, and he's made friends with dictators. That's not by coincidence. And now here, 4th of July, he wants to make the 4th of July celebration in D.C. all about him. Guess who ain't going to D.C. this 4th of July? I got to work anyway. So this is all about him. And he gets on Twitter. You know, and remember, I follow him on Twitter just so I can cuss him out on a daily basis, and I do. Still waiting for him to block me, but he hasn't. And he says some of the stupidest things you ever want to hear. But his fans eat it up. Matter of fact, there are a couple of women on there. I think they're bots. Because they get on there and they say some of the dumbest things. He'll say something stupid. And they'll get on there and, oh, he's the greatest president we ever had. Oh, we're behind you. Oh, we? Who the hell is this we, Pete? No, no. There ain't no we in it. I'm not behind you. But they say some of the stupidest stuff. I think they are bots. And I say this, and I, you know, I talk about this. I talked about him last week. I talk about him again this week. I say this because what we need to remember and what we need to realize that this he affects all of us. The stupid stuff that he says, the stupid stuff he does, it affects everybody in this country. And we need to start paying attention, if you haven't. If you're not part of the underground, you need to get part of. You need to join up. You need to get in the resistance. This kind of reminds me, and this is how old I am. There was a TV show that used to come on a long time ago. It didn't stay on long. It was a science fiction show, and it was just called V. And the V stood for visitors. And the basic premise of this show was that aliens had came from outer space, and they looked like us. They were aliens. They looked like us. They came down. Oh yeah, how you doing? You know, come to find out, they weren't aliens. They were lizards, but they had fake, you know, they had costumes on. They came down to eat us. They didn't come down to be friends. So there was a band of regular humans that decided to fight against them because they knew the deal. And this is what this is right now. We're fighting a war against this clown, because if we don't, if he gets in for four more years, you think we're screwed now. Wait until, if that happens, yeah. I mean, he does what he wants to do. He says what he wants to say, and he gets away with it. So why is that? Why do we let him get away? If this had been Obama, Obama wouldn't have made it 8 years. You know, the hate crimes are going up, the hate groups are going up, and they went up because Obama got into office. They were always here, but they were underground. When Obama got into office, all of a sudden everything starts shooting up. And they're really shooting up now because this clown says stupid stuff. and he's given these people, you know, now they're bold. Now they're not, you know, because back in the day, the KKK used to wear nightgowns and pointed hats. Now they wear red hats made in China. So they don't care if people, you know about them. They say stupid stuff just like he said. And, you know, my thing, I tell them, you know, don't let your president be the reason why you get your ass kicked. Because there are videos all over the place with people saying stupid stuff, and then they get punched in the mouth, and then all of a sudden they're a victim. But these are the same people that will call other people that don't agree with them snowflakes and all other kind of stuff. But if you say something back to them, then all of a sudden they're the victim, and we're being mean to them. And they do this every time. And he's the same way. He'll say something. You say something back to him, all of a sudden he's the victim. You're being mean to him. You know, instead of, you know, he's having these Klan rallies full of white folk. You might find a few minorities planted here or there. Like, I think they pay a lot of these people to go to these things. And he'll say some of the stupidest stuff. And they'll eat it up. But he won't tell you that right now we're facing a trade war, because the stuff that he's putting these tariffs on, who's going to pay for that stuff? We're going to pay for that stuff. Because, what, 90%? That might be a little high. 85% of the stuff that we buy is made in China. We paid it. We're going to pay for that. And then he gets on, then he has the nerve to say something like, well, you need to start buying American. When are you going to start buying American? We don't have any plants. We don't hardly make anything. Everything electronic we have is basically made in China. This laptop that I'm using, made in China. The speakers I got hooked up to it, made in China. This light that I'm using on my desk is made in China. This damn desk was made in China, I think. Almost everything we have or use has been made overseas. I remember when the Chuck Taylors used to be made here, and they used to be made in my hometown of Lumberton. Ooh. That plant closed down. They moved all those jobs overseas. You know why? Because it's cheaper to make stuff over there. You make stuff over here, you have to pay somebody $15, $16, $20. Because people over here, we don't work for cheap. But if you send stuff like that overseas, they can make shoes over there, what, $1 an hour, if that much. Let's say they make a shoe, a pair of shoes. Cost about $2 to make. They send them back over here, they sell them $100. All that profit is going to that person, whoever owns, it's going into their pockets. So it's cheaper for them to send stuff over there to make than it is over here. So we don't have anything over here. But what did he do? He claimed that we're going to have jobs out the yin-yang. Oh, we're bringing all these jobs back. These jobs have not come back. Maybe a few, but not a whole lot. They haven't come back. Instead of staying, a lot of companies are going to Mexico. They're going over there, Taiwan, you know. So these jobs are not coming back. So he promised these jobs come back, and they're not coming back, but nobody's holding them to it because, you know, he's Trump. He's orange. He's not white. He's orange. I call him an orange shit-giving. He's orange. So nobody's holding him accountable for the stuff that he says. But if it was anybody else, that's a different story. You know, now they're talking about impeachment and all this other kind of stuff. This guy, and I'm going to get to the clips in just a second, but I want to say that this guy has done so much shit that I'm old enough to remember when they impeached Clinton for getting a BJ in the White House. And if you don't know what BJ means, look it up. He got a BJ in the White House. The girl talked. She talked to the wrong chick. He got told on. He got in a whole lot of trouble. But he got impeached for it. He didn't get kicked out of office, but he got impeached for it. And back then, a lot of the senators that we still have now were around back then. And back then, you can get online and look up these videos. And they said, oh, if you do something like this, and the president, oh, he's a disgrace. He needs to be blah, 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 blah. Now, the same people that said that about Clinton are saying the opposite about Trump. And I think Trump's done a whole lot worse than what Clinton did. A lot of those guys, too, that talked about Clinton would have probably done the same thing and probably had done the same thing, but the difference is they didn't get caught. Now, I don't know too many guys that were turned down on BJ.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. But a lot of these guys, they complain, they moan, they groan. If they were put into the same position, they'd probably get one too. But you got them on tape talking about Clinton like he shot somebody. But then the same principles that applied to Clinton should apply now, but they don't because this guy is a Republican. And if they go against him, he will mess them up. And that's the way, that's the way the current thing is right now. That's the way it is. They won't come out and admit it, but anybody with half a brain can put two and two together. Okay. So I was going to read you the definition, but I'm not going to read you the definition. I'll let the clips read you the definition. But there are a couple of stories I just want to touch on about the cult of Trump and how it applies to what we're talking about. Because there is a cult of Trump. And I think I can sometimes compare him to some of these preachers that are on TV. How they got thousands of people that sit up in churches on Sunday and just listen to them. It's kind of like that. I mean, if you can halfway talk and got a little bit of charisma, you can start a church anywhere. And there are churches all over the place. I could take a map of where I'm sitting at right now and draw a five mile radius around where I'm sitting, and there's probably a good 10, 15, maybe 20 churches. Matter of fact, I live next to a church. I can walk out the door, walk around the fence, and boom, I'm there. That's how close I am to this church. So anybody, I'm not going to say anybody, but if you can halfway talk and halfway can get people to listen to you, you can have a church. And this is what, compared to this, he does the same thing. He tells these people, he tells his fans what they want to hear, and they believe it. They don't and this is the first president that has got to be fact-checked. And it's so bad, I have to fact-check his fans. I got to a thing last week where somebody that I know, he says he's not a Trump fan, but that's a damn lie. Now all of a sudden he's putting clips up talking about Muslims, how they going to kill us. I mean, come on, man. Just admit it. You're scared of Muslims. Don't try to come up with an excuse. You're scared of them. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, they're going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. If they wanted to do anything, they would have done it. I don't trust them. 9/11, blah, blah. Come on. My thing is, you act like you're scared of Muslims. I should be scared of crazy-ass white boys with guns. They've killed more people than Muslims have. I should be scared of y'all, but I'm not. So this is something else that he's good at. He's good at putting fear in people because, fear can sometimes get you reelected. All you got to do is lie about something. Bush did it. When Bush ran a second time and won, you know what the lie that he said that got him reelected? He said, not directly, but he said, if you vote for the other guy, you're going to have 9/11 all over again. And that scared people shitless. And they voted for him again. And we didn't have another line on the left. But it worked. Republicans will scare your ass into voting for him. They won't give you another reason to vote for him, but they'll scare the hell out of you to get the vote. And this is exactly what this clown is doing. He wants you to be scared of Muslims. He wants you to be scared of black people. He wants you to be scared of brown people. He wants you to be scared of people that don't look like him. And it works. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk about next week. And I guess the title of the show is going to be Why Are White People Scared of Minorities? And they are. They won't admit to it, but they are. We're going to talk about that next week. So I'm not going to read you the definition, even though I've got it. I'll let the clip, because I think the clip will explain it to you a bit better. The clips are way, you know, way, they can explain it way better than I can. But I'm going to read you a couple of articles. I'm going to get to the points about it to let you know how this ties into Trump and why you should watch out for this type, this, you know, this type of thing and how he affects people. Because I know lots of people that like this clown. And I know people, you know, probably had to get rid of friends or relatives or whatever because they like, you know, this. And I will also say this. Not only do they use fear, and he uses fear, but not only do they use fear, but they will use religion as a weapon when it shouldn't be that way. The whole thing should be, you know, separation of church and state. But this clown brings in religion, and he does it for a reason. He wants to separate. And then he wants to pretend that he goes to church every Sunday, which he doesn't. We know that. We know, because I guarantee if he walked into a church, he'd probably explode. He's probably never been in church. Only when he has to go. And when he has to go, he's probably sitting there thinking about playing golf. But they use religion as a weapon. He's got a lot of these phony-ass Christians. Oh, God sent them here. No. Okay. Say that if you want to. And you see why there's people leaving the church in droves, because people are talking stupid stuff like that. You know, either that or God got a crazy sense of humor, sending some clown like that to be. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. All right. Now let's see if the computer will act like it's got some sense. Clip number one.
So we talked about in a previous video about how attitudes generally shape our behaviors. People strive for consistency and harmony between their attitudes and behaviors. For example, you wouldn't hold the attitude that eating meat is immoral and then still go out to Burger King and have a positive attitude towards eating hamburgers. So there's an inconsistency, and as people, we usually don't like that. We feel a sense of discomfort. Now, when we have these contradictions in our attitudes and behaviors, this can lead to something called cognitive dissonance. So cognitive dissonance is the discomfort experienced when holding two or more conflicting cognitions. And these cognitions can be ideas, beliefs, values, or emotional reactions. And this feeling of discomfort can lead to alterations in one of our attitudes, in one of our beliefs, or even our behaviors. And the reason we alter or change these cognitions is kind of like a protective mechanism or defense mechanism to reduce the discomfort we feel between inconsistencies. So let's take a look at cognitive dissonance in the eyes of a smoker. Now, pretending we're a smoker, we're going to say, "I smoke." But at the same time, we also think and have this attitude that smoking leads to cancer. Now, our behavior is we smoke, but our attitude is that smoking leads to cancer. There is a contradiction there. Do you see it? There's an inconsistency. So this is what dissonance is. They are our contradictions. And we don't like contradictions. We like balance and harmony, all that good stuff. So when we have these contradictions, we may do four different things to our cognitions to alter those attitudes in order to reduce that comfort. And the first of these is that we may try to modify one or two of our cognitions. So in this example of the smoker may say, "I really don't smoke that much." So he went or she went from saying, "I smoke," to modifying that a little bit and saying, "I really don't smoke that much." So there's a little bit of an alteration there in order to reduce the discomfort that person has in their attitude and behavior. The second thing that they might try and do is trivialize. Trivialize, which means making less important. So they may change the importance of their cognition or trivialize it by saying something like, the evidence is weak that smoking causes cancer. So remember, their original cognition was smoking leads to cancer. Now they're saying, by trivializing, that the evidence is weak that smoking causes cancer. So do you see how there's a little bit of an alteration there as well? Now the third way that this contradiction can be modified or reduced is by adding more cognitions. So another way we can make our cognitions less discomfortable, or the contradictions less uncomfortable, is by adding more cognitions. So someone may say, I exercise so much that it doesn't even matter that I smoke. Well, the first was I smoke, the second was smoking leads to cancer, and now we're slightly modifying both of those by adding another cognition saying, I exercise so much that it doesn't even matter that I smoke. So there's a third way that we deal with cognitive dissonance. And the last way is by denying these cognitions altogether. So we're denying that they're even related, denying that smoking and cancer are even related. So the smoker in this case may say that there is no evidence that smoking and cancer are linked. So this is cognitive dissonance in a nutshell in the eyes of a smoker. And the big take-home message here is that people strive for harmony. We strive for harmony in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and as soon as our cognitions, our attitudes and behaviors don't align, that's when we have cognitive dissonance.
Okay, so can you see how that applies as an example? And Trump's got a whole shitload of. For example, it's used when he got caught raw dogging a porn star while being married and while his wife was pregnant. The evidence came out, and what did his fans say? Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He's married. And these same people, you know, these phony, I call them phony ass Christians, they didn't say a peep, even though they think that this guy is a Christian. And what does it say in the commandments? You know, don't screw around on your wife with porn star. But they didn't care. But they cared about Clinton's blowjob. BJ, I'm sorry. BJ. They cared about that, but they don't care about Trump screwing porn stars and then paying them off. So when you give them evidence to something that he's done, they brush it off. But if somebody else, then we got to believe that. But if it pertains to him, we don't believe it. So they'll keep, you know, I don't believe it, he didn't do it. But then when proof came out that he had his lawyer pay, then all of a sudden, don't believe the lawyer. The lawyer's lying. He didn't do it. And he said, oh, I didn't do it. But we got you. We got the proof that you did it. She said that you did it. You know. So, you know, they don't like facts. They hate facts. So they keep whatever. Next clip, pretty good clip. Dr. Joy DeGruy is in this one. And she knows her stuff.
Cognitive dissonance is what occurs when a person is holding on to contradictory ideas simultaneously. Ideas like, we really honor and uphold notions of freedom and democracy.
It's true, you know.
And at the same time that this is being espoused, committing literal genocide against Native people in America and enslaving generations of people of African descent. That would be an example of a conflict that is going on that has to be reconciled internally. As we look at institutions, as we look at how people move through the world in America, in other words, how do you espouse these ideas of freedom and at the same time you are demonstrably doing something opposite of that? And in fact, committing acts that are no less than barbaric as it relates to oppressing people. So, you know, this is the dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance is when you have been conditioned to think, feel, and behave in a certain way. You've been socialized.
I've got the busiest job in the whole world, American housewife.
She gets teeth much whiter. You can see.
Special. For whitening clothes, Blue Cheer is different. So clean, so white.
And all of a sudden, everything you've been taught, everything you believe, has suddenly come face to face with a truth that contradicts it. And this truth is so overwhelmingly powerful that it's hard for you to ignore it. But in confronting this truth, it upsets the internal belief system upon which your life has functioned. It's when you've been raised in a certain religion or a certain political ideology, and someone brings you a morsel of truth that shocks the hell out of your internal intellectual belief system, and the truth they gave you was so powerful that it disrupted and uprooted almost everything you believe. Your ego and your mind automatically begins to try to find a way to shoot down the truth that you just heard. But because your spirit is telling you that this was the truth, your ego and mind is not doing a good enough job to shoot down that new information that is making it hard for you to remain a consistent adherent to that which you were previously told to believe.
So then what does one do to calm the mind of the people whose ancestors perpetrated these atrocities? So you have to somehow normalize the behavior. In other words, make somehow the idea of American chattel slavery for 339 years somehow seem, you know, an okay thing to do. Because imagine 339 years of being told, oh, no, this is okay. The problem is them. The problem is we were benefiting them, or we were helping them, or whatever rationalization they receive. So when they get this information now, the jolt is, well, no, that can't be true.
They do not want to accept the reality that processing that information would bring about. And so white folks suffer, and Dr. Jeffries is the first one I heard use the term like 30, 40 years ago, that white folks suffer from cognitive dissonance, that white folks have an inability to process information that shows black folks in a positive light, you know, because to process that information in that manner would then show them in the negative light that they have lived out over the centuries in their relationship to us.
Then we have to take a look at what effect then does that have on those who have oppressed. Because again, they have had to live with generations of one denial and acceptance of that dissonance. And the way that they've dealt with that is to one, not just deny it, but hide it. To hide any truth associated with what would cause the conflict. For you to see the barbarism, for you to see the levels and the involvement of people in lynchings and the behavior of large groups of people, generations of people, around mutilating and hanging and beating people. So what you have to do to, one, hide it, and or two, justify it, produces this kind of callousness that you see, this open defiance in the face of a preponderance of evidence. A preponderance of evidence that says, here it is before us.
White supremacy, when you talk about racism, same thing. white folk haven't been socialized that Africans are inferior all their life. It's part of their internal intellectual belief system. All of a sudden, they come face to face with a black man or woman who's more intelligent than any white person they know or have ever met or have ever read about. Wow. For the first time, I've learned that black people are not inferior, but I've been taught they were. And coming from a culture of white racism and supremacy, I have to rally my psychological resources to come up with an excuse or justification for just how this black person was able to be this intelligent. And to give you an example of how the ego and the mind will combat the cognitive dissonance, for example, it will rationalize the intelligence of the black man. It's when we tell, it's when the white person tell themselves, there's always exceptions to every rule. Yes, he was smart. Yes, he was very intelligent. But that's only because there's exceptions to every rule. Most black folk are not that smart. Most black folk are not that intelligent. You're not likely to come across a lot of them. And so it becomes more easy to tolerate when you come up with a justification, when you come up with a rationale for why you're experiencing information or circumstances that are in direct contradiction to what you've been taught to believe.
So their perspective is, well, you know, this must, you must be not telling the truth because we're benevolent, we're good, we're kind, which was what had to be fed for generations in order for people to somehow normalize, well, again, what results in being pretty much barbaric and horrific behavior.
In the end, it probably will end up with mixing socially. And you will have, well, I think their aim is mixed marriages and becoming equal with the whites. It's the subject that's talked about all the time. And as far as accepting them socially, if that's what you mean, I could never do that.
In recent times, we're seeing all of the videotape footage of police use of deadly force. The police use of deadly force is not new, but there's a preponderance of evidence that is showing it now, which is producing what? Dissonance. It says, well, this can't be true, even in the face of it. Even watching it, they go, this simply can't be true, because you are now looking at least 300 years of denial that anything wrong has happened, that these people of African descent got anything other than what they deserved. And so now in the face of the entire globe looking at this and saying, no, this is not okay. And really it's sparking, I would venture to say, some incredible anxiety. And not only anxiety, but a large degree, a large dose of paranoia. For example, in Portland, Oregon, in 2014, right in front of an immigrant refugee organization in Portland, Oregon, there's a group of white people standing with a banner which says, diversity equals white genocide. This is 2014. So I think that those, in terms of epigenetics, we're looking at people who are absolutely losing it. The fear. Because again, they're not looking at the behavior that has been exhibited towards people of color as being anything other than what, of course, people of color deserve. But now they're beginning to see that not only is that not true, but you're not going to be able to continue to do this without the entire world looking on and holding you accountable for that.
Okay, that's the end of that clip. I got a couple more clips to play, but I'm going to hit the button. All right. All right. Hey,
man,
what's up?
Those people are exaggerating completely out of sight.
Okay.
And James Small should be shaming himself. I know him. Talking about the people have, well, you can say the same thing about black speakers too. They have cognitive dissonances.
Yeah, we all have it.
And it has. And see, here's the thing: you are criticizing the very people you're going to turn around that you're going to be asking for jobs. You know, that's why I come out and pay no attention to them. Where is the report on the recent 45th annual convention of the National Society of Black Engineers that was held in Detroit, ended the 31st of March, where you had white corporations like Lockheed Martin, hiring over 400, just they did, 400 young black STEM graduates, plus the thousands of others that was hired by white corporations. Now, I don't know, it might have been some black ones there too. But the vast majority of them, when you look at the list, and you see Google, Amazon, you see J.P. Morgan and Sachs, you see the FBI, CIA, and Department of Defense, you see Harley Davis, those white corporations. Some of the folks just want to hear that noise. That's like Booker T. Washington said, and he was telling the truth about that came on. And was that Omar Johnson that was speaking to?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Where is the school?
You have to ask him that.
Did you contribute to that?
No, I'm still waiting to get information about that, but I haven't heard anything, and he was in the clip.
Yeah, where's the school?
No,
he got all them hundreds of thousands of dollars from people, which was stupid to do, to give your money away like that. You don't give your money away to somebody, they don't even have a plan. So what did that tell you about the people that they are addressing? Anytime you can go in front of a bunch of people or send a message to people to get them to go in their pocket and give you money on nothing but a cue, no plan, no blueprints, no assurances, no guarantees, not showing that they are bondable, whereas they have a responsibility to even collect money, well, then something's wrong with the people. Would you not say?
People do that all the time. Matter of fact, I saw
you're right.
With,
Some guy set up some
GoFundMe account to help build the wall. He takes the money and buys a yacht. I don't give my money to anybody.
I guess so.
I didn't give him
Obama
any money.
Did that
I just
in,
don't give my money
Obama
to anybody.
Obama did that in Chicago, and he took the money, and what is he building?
Well, I think
so
last
you
time I heard about that too. They fully built a library,
thing.
But you know.
Yeah, he took land from this lady who just passed, who had the Veterans Center, which I gave money to. So you know, you can play whatever you want to, but when I hear these people talking this stuff, like Harold Moore, you know what his name, his neighborhood name was, don't you? Khalid Muhammad. They used to raise all that kind of heggs in hell. Then you got the other guy that's out there, Joe Wheeler with Uhuru. So it's one thing that if you're going to correct these problems yourself, but you're still begging somebody else to, like, they just kick Minister Farrakhan off of Facebook. Well, what you going to do? You going to beg and plead and try to make Facebook do right about you?
Nope. I tell you what, I bet you there's somewhere, in, you know, if I had to, or if, there's probably some, you know, he'll probably find somewhere else to go. But the thing is, well, we're not talking about him, but the thing is, with that.
It's the same thing. It's still the same kind of cognitive dissonances. Dissonance. How you pronounce that word?
Yeah, because, cognitive dissonance. We all have it. We all got it. I mean, I don't think I have it,
whatever it means.
Yeah, you got it. Everybody's got it.
Now, let me tell you something else. Like that woman was talking about what they supposedly done to the Native Americans, Indians. Well, that was a war. You know that the Indians gave white settlers diseases too? Dysentery. And
I'm
there
sure
was another
did.
One I can't think of the name of. Yeah, but nobody never talks about that. The Indians would attack, they made an agreement, okay, but they would attack when they was relaying the railroad. They started off in Omaha, Nebraska, going west, and you had the other group, the Pacific Railroad, which was led by Isaiah Judah, and four investor that was involved in that. One of them was a vegetarian, by the way. They started off in Sacramento, California. And they were supposed to meet up at Summit Pass there in Utah. But the Union Pacific layers the Indians would tear up their track and tear up everything else and attack them. Well, they had made an agreement that that wouldn't happen. That, I mean, the train was just going to go through. And that was it. And I think they even got paid for the land. So they was warned. That's why you had the Buffalo Soldiers. The soldiers that fought in the Civil War on both sides, black soldiers, they formed the 10th Cavalry and went west in the Indian Wars in order to protect settlers as they trekked out west. Nobody never talks about that. And that's a shame. But people can say what they want to. And of course, people don't have to get involved with these ideas neither. But you're always going to have some. Yeah. You're going to have some that's going to be blaming things on everybody, the white man, and they doing some silly stuff yourself. Can you imagine giving people money to do something? And I have done that, by the way, but I donated money to these organizations. You go drive by the location there now, the Clifford Wilson Center that was in St. Louis on Billups, right down the street from Sumner High School. Nothing there but a vacant lot now.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
I tell you another thing that's worse than that. You know these African center schools that people form, and they get folks to pay tuition for their kids to come there, and all they take that money and send their kids to TWI, traditional white institutions. I can name one case here and maybe two here in the St. Louis area where that happened. They took the money and sent their kids to elite TWI schools and paid the tuition.
All right. Got two more clips. And then I'm
all right, I'll listen.
I should have time to read at least one of these articles. Okay. Let's go. I don't seem to be having any more issues. Okay. So let's see if this works. Number three.
One of my favorite things that Allison Camerota does on CNN are these focus groups where she asks Trump supporters how they feel about specific policies. Now, I think this is incredibly important because it gives you an idea of how much the supporters know, what it is that they like about him, what it is that they actually defend about him. And they're asked specific questions. So this latest focus group was particularly fascinating because it had a combination of current Trump supporters and also individuals who voted for Trump but are now regretful for doing so. So with that said, let's take a look at the first video.
Why are you more excited today than you were?
You know, I came in with some trepidation based on his previous record. He's the most pro-life president we've had, more than Reagan. He's done a substantial job protecting the Second Amendment, securing our border, deporting illegal aliens. He made a list of promises. He's coming through on many of them.
I think it's disingenuous to say that President Trump is wholly responsible for the bifurcation that we see across party lines right now.
But is he helping it?
I don't think that necessarily some of the things that he says could be said in a more polished manner.
My issue with this president, who I voted for, is the fact that he has something negative to say about every other leader. But you try saying one little comment that's negative about Trump himself. He jumps into a fit and he has this Twitter tirade. You know, we have a lot of I have to be crass about it, idiots who voted for him, including myself at one time.
I take great offense. I am not an idiot. It's a wise decision that people voted. It was a wise decision for Michiganders, for Wisconsinites, for Pennsylvanians, for working Americans who were tired of their jobs being taken away, shipped overseas, or taken by illegals.
God damn. He couldn't have proved her point any better than he did. Our jobs are being taken by the illegals and our jobs are being shipped abroad. Harley Davidson shipping jobs from the states that you mentioned to other countries because of the tariffs that Donald Trump imposed. So you cost yourself jobs and you think that the undocumented immigrants are the ones that rigged the system because they're so powerful. They got no power at all, you schmuck. The people who are rigging the system are people like Steve Mnuchin, who's the Treasury Secretary for Donald Trump, who ripped people off and foreclosed on their houses and made millions of dollars doing it. Donald Trump is the swamp, and you moron are sitting there going, oh, I like what he's doing because he's cracking down on the illegals that have, what, all the power in this country? At least one person there recognizes more than that, but in that clip, one person recognizes, hey, and it's true, by the way, not just of Donald Trump, but I'm sure that in your own personal life you've seen this too. The people who are the most aggressive in attacking others, if you criticize them, thinnest skin in the world. Like, how dare you?
Right. That is absolutely right. But, you know, what I think is interesting is, look, do I think that that guy is an idiot? I don't think he knows all the things that you just mentioned. Look, the frustrating thing is when you try to have a conversation with someone who is misinformed, as that guy is, right, and you try to explain to him what Steve Mnuchin did when he was the head of One West Bank and how he committed fraud to foreclose on innocent people who shouldn't have been foreclosed on. When you try to have those conversations with these people, if they just flat out reject that evidence and that information, well then, yes, I think it's fair to call them whatever name. But I think that, look, that kind of stuff isn't covered in the media. You think that aside from the New York Times covering that story about a record number of elderly people going bankrupt, you think that cable news is covering that?
No, I know. So look, I'm torn, and I vacillate between, hey, you schmucks, I mean, just read one goddamn article, right? But they say, no, fake news. Donald Trump told me all the facts are fake. So I'm just going to close my eyes. So I can't help but call them schmucks and idiots, et cetera, because they're actively rejecting facts because they care more about their feelings. Donald Trump makes me feel good. Like, I'm going to be back. I'm a right-wing American, and I'm going to be back in charge, and I'm going to get the illegals. That makes me feel good. Oh, it's actually Donald Trump that cost me my job. Those facts are uninteresting to me. Well, what am I supposed to call you? Now, on the other hand, yes, I know you're right, and I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually got them facts and they actually listened, they might have a totally different point of view, and the media oftentimes does not help, not by being gentle to Trump voters. Obviously, I'm not doing that. But by covering all the bad things, quote unquote, bad things he said, and we cover that from time to time too, no question about it, because it's so outrageous. But those guys like that look at that and go, I don't see the problem. He's attacking the people I don't like. I kind of love that, right? No, snap out of it, media. Tell them how they're actually hurting his wages.
Yes.
And maybe costing him his job.
Yes.
Because those are the realities.
Yes.
And that he could actually have health care for his family if he didn't vote for Trump. But instead, you keep telling him that Trump hates Latinos, and he thinks,
great,
yeah. I hate Latinos.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know about that particular guy, but you could tell in how he refers to the illegals over and over again.
Look, I don't think we're being unfair if we say that he hates the illegals. I mean, if you are comfortable with what Trump did at the border with the zero tolerance policy, you hate illegals. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Ripping children away from their parents. Okay.
And so you could say, all right, one more time. Undocumented immigrants, you could say, look, they shouldn't cross the border illegally. There's a legal process, et cetera. It's a nice privileged thing to say. I got it. And I came here legally. My family did. But, you know, we had a little bit more money. So it was a nice privileged thing for us to be able to do, right? We weren't desperate and running from violence and trying to protect the lives of our kids and willing to do whatever it takes. Okay, fine. But even that, I'm saying that's an acceptable position. But you keep calling undocumented immigrants the illegals who are taking our jobs. Now, you hate them, man. You talk about ripping their kids away from them they were desperately trying to protect. And you think that's a good thing? Now, you got hatred in your heart. Even if we agree, hey, we got to stop it and we can't have them crossing the border and we've got to figure out a way to make sure that they don't cross the border, you don't have to do it with malice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you betray yourself and your real motives.
So let's go to the next video.
I want to apologize to the nation for my vote for him. It was the wrong thing to do. It was the biggest mistake I ever made. Like I said, he is a racist.
Why do you believe he's racist?
Why do I believe he's racist? Look what happened in Puerto Rico. He said, oh, they want to just cry and, you know, they needed help. Just because they're not white-skinned, he doesn't want to go down there and help them out?
So I take great offense to the fact that you felt the need to apologize on the behalf of the entire nation, because that also seems that says to me that you are invalidating the validity of my vote.
No,
and the reasons why I voted for Donald Trump is because, based on my perception of him, he is not a racist, and he has done so much. He has done so much.
Okay, so to the guy saying that, I assume that the end of that sentence was, he's done so much for African Americans, and presumably based on the job market, that's the thing that Donald Trump and Republicans say all the time. The economic recovery, including adding jobs, started 93 months ago. improving the unemployment rate for African Americans started 93 months ago. It started in 2010 under Barack Obama. For you, and that trend continues, it has slowed down under Trump. It has not abated. And we're fair. We say, hey, look, he didn't crash it yet. Okay, but he didn't crash it. So I'll give him some credit for that. So he's gone almost 2 years without crashing it. Honestly, that surprises me. I would have thought he would have crashed it by now, but he hasn't. We stick with facts. But if you think that he started the economic recovery and caused the economic recovery for African Americans in this country, you just literally have no idea what you're talking about. It's not remotely true.
Besides which, it goes beyond the unemployment number, which we've talked about on the show repeatedly. What about wages? What about consumer debt? What's really happening with the quality of these jobs? Are they full-time jobs? Are they temporary jobs? Are they part-time jobs? A lot of them are temporary. A lot of them are part-time. A lot of them do pay very little. So, like...
Yeah. Look, just one more thing. Look, some of the stuff, if you don't know it, I understand. Like, if you don't know that Donald Trump wanted to prosecute the Central Park Five, even after he found out that they were innocent, and he thought, oh, they must have done something anyway. That's an unbelievably racist thing to say about minority kids who were wrongly imprisoned for all of those years for a rape they did not commit. We found the guy. His DNA matches. He confessed. Trump says, I don't care that those minority kids were not guilty. I want him back in prison. He says that. Why? Because of his assumptions about minorities. Why does he say about Puerto Rico during the hurricane they were lazy and they didn't want to help themselves? Because he's racist. But maybe you didn't hear the specific comments about how Puerto Ricans don't want to help themselves and they're not working hard enough, as he gave them less money to recover from the tragedy than he did for Republican voters in Texas, etc. Maybe you didn't see the Central Park Five, but you saw him call countries that are black and Latino S-hole countries. You've seen 1,000 things he's done. You've seen him call Latinos rapists and criminals and how they're all like MS-13.
He doesn't find it interesting that Trump reserves the insult of low IQ and stupid for black people and black people only.
Maxine Waters, Don Lemon. Gee, I wonder what connects them.
LeBron James. Yeah.
LeBron James. And for that guy, the dumbest president we have ever had by a landslide, including George W. Bush, to call anyone else stupid. I mean, that should be an affront to your sense of logic and rationale. But you sit there going, oh, how dare you call him racist? Okay.
So this next video is my favorite. Alison Camerota does challenge a Trump supporter here. Take a look.
I work with a lot of Hispanic evangelicals who are very pro-life. Hispanics care about God, family, jobs, education. Top things for us. The President Trump is delivering on those things.
Right.
So all this other rhetoric,
no, that's all
this other rhetoric of, oh, he tweeted this or he did this, I don't really care about
that. You don't care about that.
God,
you're free to care.
Family, exactly. God, family,
understood.
Jobs,
great.
And education.
And you made a great point about that. And so as somebody who is driven by her faith and cares about God and family, do any of the personal peccadilloes give you pause? The Playboy model who was paid off, the payments to Stormy Daniels, your lives without affairs. Does any of that give you pause?
You know, we are taught as Christians to be forgiving. I'm not going to get into his personal life. That was not something that I weighed in to go vote for him.
Does it make you
anything was better than Hillary?
But
absolutely.
When you hear about the Playboy stuff, does it make you uncomfortable?
No. I'm not here to judge about what he did on his miscellaneous activities or what he was doing outside of his bedroom. That is not what I voted for him to do.
The world's largest hypocrites. I guarantee you every one of those people were like, I can't believe Bill Clinton disgraced the White House by having a consensual affair. But now, and lying about it, now Donald Trump lies about it through his teeth, might have broken campaign finance laws, have other people do payoffs for him, and sleeps with porn stars while he's married and his wife just had a kid, and on it goes. And now the person who cares about God and faith all of a sudden doesn't give a damn about family values and never did, never did.
I just want, if we can, I know this is a little different from what we usually do, play that the beginning of that last video again, where she talks about the importance of family. Let's just play that again. I want you guys to listen carefully to that.
I work with a lot of Hispanic evangelicals who are very pro-life. Hispanics care about God, family, jobs, education. Top things for us.
So do Latinos care about families being ripped apart at the border as they're seeking refuge and asylum in the United States? Do they care about that at all? I mean, really? You don't care about family. I don't know what she really cares about. She obviously works with evangelicals. She mentioned it in that clip. But you can't claim to care about family when you're supporting a president who specifically rips Latino families apart at the border as they're looking for safety to protect their children.
She's brainwashed. She's brainwashed into believing that abortion is the only thing that matters. And so if you're an actual baby, who cares? You actually have affairs. Who cares? I don't care. All I care is that I've been taught that the only thing I'm ever supposed to care about is a uterus. Now, you don't even know why you were taught that. You were taught that because they wanted to control women. They never cared about it before. That ideology began in America in the 1970s. They used it as a political gimmick to try to trick people like you, and it worked. So you don't even know what principles you think you have. You say, oh, family. Then we show you that Trump has violated everything you ever said you cared about, family. And then you go, I don't know. They told me you abortion, uterus, whatever. I'm sheeple. I got programs.
He cheated on every single wife. He's had children from three different women. He cheated on Melania immediately after she gave birth.
With a porn star, raw dog style. If a Democrat had done any of that, oh, my God, here's what Hispanic evangelicals care about and white evangelicals and all evangelicals. We care about family values. We care so much about family values. I can't believe Bill Clinton had a consensual affair and then lied about it once after being challenged. Just look, if you're ever going to say about that it's okay for Donald Trump, all I need is one simple thing. I'm sorry. Just say it. I'm sorry for being an incredible hypocrite about Bill Clinton. Like, I was wrong. Apparently, I never cared about family. Just say it. I never cared about family values. Never cared. And so I'm sorry. Say that and we're done with it. I don't give a damn who Donald Trump slept with either. I care that your wages are low. I care that you don't have health care. And I care that he tricked you into voting for things that are actually against your economic interests and that are going to actually hurt your own family. That's what I care about. But I can't stand your hypocrisy, where you pretended to be against people based on the fact that they were Democrats, and you don't actually have any principles. Just admit it, and let's move on. Two easy ways to follow the Young Turks. One is hit the subscribe button down below.
All right. Yeah. And I think that's my beef. It's the hypocrisy. It kills me. They need to stop lying. Stop pretending that this guy is something that he's not. Republicans are like that too.
Let's go over these points that they said, because they lying themselves.
Okay.
They mentioned about, you know, Stormy Daniels was found. She ended up being sued, where she has to pay like $280,000 to Donald Trump for defamation. For lying. That was on NPR, National Public Radio.
They were all lying. He was lying and she was lying.
But wait a minute. Hang on now. She lied on him.
He lied.
And was found to have lied, in court.
And he lied on her.
He didn't lie on her.
So
if that was the case, why did the court allow him to sue her and she's got to pay? So that's,
why
I mean,
did he give her money?
Read the case.
But why did he give her money under the table and then lie about it? He didn't do it.
He didn't give her money. The lawyer did. That's what he's supposed to do.
The lawyer's supposed to handle that. He authorized the payment to do it, to get her to shut up so the news wouldn't come out.
Anybody that comes up,
so
it, sometimes it's best to pay. Sometimes it's best to pay than to go through court with a whole bunch of rigmarole. A lot of them do that.
This is the hypocrisy. This is the hypocrisy right here.
Here's another thing.
Because a lot of people that follow this clown pretend that they're Christian. This clown has broken about seven other commandments already, but see, they don't see this. He lied too. She lied.
Look at these people up there. Look at these Democratic governors there in Virginia that's using infanticide. Is that not wrong? You got women that's talking about they gonna withhold sex if they can't be allowed to. They cannot be allowed to abort babies
full term, and they gonna kill them. You actually believe that? You actually believe they murder babies when they come out?
They put a doctor in jail for doing it.
That's called murder. Why would
they put a doctor in jail for doing it? Dr. Gansdorf, did you read that story?
My license to kill a baby that comes out. Why would I do that? That's murder.
That's what. Did you not listen to the clip?
That makes no sense.
I tell you what. I tell you what, Anthony. Play that clip. Play that clip. And here's another thing. Just like those other, like just like that clip you pay. But look, man, you the host and you talking over me.
Look, yeah, because you know why? Because I am not going to sit here and listen to lies. You know who does that? The only reason why they bring up abortion, which they always do, because they wanted to get these pretend Christians to come in to get the vote. They scare them into doing it. That's all they do. They won't regulate a gun, but they'll regulate a women's
vagina.
Well,
you're going to say that Hillary Clinton, when she go to the black church and resort to her southern drawl, when Biden go to the places and say they're going to put y'all back in chain, what is that?
They all do it. They all do it.
Well, let's play some
Trump
of I don't know if she do it or not. I never
they
hear
all
it.
Do it.
Here's another point. Let's talk about the border.
They all do it.
Let's talk about
yeah,
the
what
border.
About it?
When a adult shows up at the border with a child, how do you know that that's their child?
Who cares? If
well, yeah, you care. You can't.
Wait a minute.
Hang on for a second.
The other thing that kills about this country is that this country pretends that it's a Christian country. This country is not Christian.
This country does not pretend. There's nothing in the Constitution that says
this
country
is
Christian.
This country is not.
Well, show me where in the Constitution it says, Anthony. Show me in the Constitution where it says it's Christian.
People, I didn't say it was Christian. It's not.
Well, people can say whatever they want to. You got people here that worship Satan here. It's perfectly legal.
So when people come here and they want to make a better life for themselves, if they're not white, they don't get in. But if they're white, I bet
they
let them in.
Here's the thing, Anthony. Here's the thing. No, you shouldn't
let them in
because we have rules and regulations. Why would you come 1,200 miles and come through? Hang on for a second. See, that guy, you just got your tongue, didn't have nobody that could argue back with him. Why would they walk 1,200 miles and go through countries where they could assault asylum in those countries the way the rules say it should?
Maybe they want to come here because we've been spewing this bullshit for centuries that this is the greatest country on the planet. Maybe that's why.
Oh, maybe so. But regardless of what it is, there's rules and regulations.
So
there's rules and regulations on how it should be done.
They want to come here to have a better life. So what's wrong with that?
There's rules and regulations on how it should be done.
So when they do come, at least treat them like human beings instead of treating them
like I said before.
And let them go through.
Read the rules and regulations as spelled out in the United Nations. You're supposed to seek refugee status.
And let them go through the process. Yeah,
have you ever tried to get somebody in the country before?
And treat them like a refugee.
Let me ask you something.
No.
Have you ever tried to get a foreigner into this country before?
No, I haven't.
Well, I have. And I think I know a little bit more about it than you do.
Yeah, but I bet you they were treated humanely, too, now, weren't they?
No, they haven't. It has nothing to do with being treated humanely.
Yes,
it
does.
You go through the process.
You don't treat people like shit just because, let them go through the process.
When you go through the process, that's what you're supposed to do is go through a process. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If I was head of the agency, if I was head of the agency that took care of that, I would do the same thing. If you driving down the street, you got sons, right? Let me ask you something. You got sons, right?
Yeah,
if you're driving down the street, the police stop you, and you got warrants, they're going to take you to jail. What do they do with your kids?
They call somebody to come
you can't
pick
answer
them up.
Them questions. Huh?
Yeah, I just answered it. They call somebody to come pick them up.
All right, So the kids do not get to go to jail with you now, do they?
They're not supposed to go to jail. But if the people are coming over
a better
life,
it's the same thing.
They don't separate the kids and put the kids in, and they don't lock the kids up in cages.
Where are they supposed to put them? In the Hilton?
No, you put them to where you keep them with their parents. That's what you're supposed to do with them.
No, how do you know they did their parents? Because there has been many, many, many cases where kids show up at the border with an adult they're not related to.
Okay, so I'm going to go through all the trouble of coming all the way up here with a kid that ain't mine?
They do it.
Really?
Yes,
so
they do.
I'm going to come 1,200 miles.
Why do you think
somebody else's kid?
Why do you think they do DNA testing on the adult and the child?
To make sure that the family.
There
together.
You go.
That's what
to make sure
to,
that the child is related
all the way
to the adult.
1,200 miles, but I'm not going to come 1,200 miles with somebody else's kid.
See,
I'm not
what
do
you're
it.
Doing,
that
you arguing.
Sense.
You are arguing
no, I'm
with
not arguing.
How.
I'm
the
not
information.
Arguing. Nope, I'm not arguing.
Why do they do DNA
arguing.
Testing? Why do they do DNA testing at the border? Google it.
They've
why does
doing
it cost $700 per child? It costs
they've
$700. It costs upwards
reason,
of $700 per child.
The only reason why this made a big deal is because he came out and said if they come, they're going to lock them up. That's what he said.
Well, that's the truth. They should be.
And he's trying,
if they come
and
across the border
damnedest,
illegal, whether it's a
excuse me, and he's trying his damnedest to keep brown and black people up out of here because he knows the deal. In a few years, white people are going to be the minority and brown and black people are going to be the majority.
Well, it don't make no difference. The whites are the minority in South Africa. Who controls everything?
We're not talking about South Africa. I don't live in South Africa. I've never been to South Africa.
We're talking
about
who controls.
It doesn't do anything.
It don't make no
me.
Difference if you are if you're a minority, you got all the
here.
Money. Who cares
about
what the majority numbers
I'm
are?
I'm sitting right here in North Carolina. I ain't sitting in South Africa. I don't know what they do down there. I've never been there.
Well,
I
tell
no
you
idea.
What. Let me tell you what they do
so
to blacks out there.
Do,
let me tell you what
know.
The Latinos and that. Let me tell you what the Latinos and that
play,
do to blacks out there
and
in South Central.
Play this clip right here.
In polarized situations,
they run their ass up out
we
of
tend
it.
To identify with the leaders we choose. When we do, we fall prey to the same biases that affect our evaluation of friends and loved ones. Each of the biases and processes I want to discuss affects all of us in all kinds of decisions. But I'm just going to discuss how they may have affected Trump supporters. We have images of all kinds of people and professions in our minds. If I say doctor, you have an image in your mind. It's the same if I say professor or president. If I ask you which of these people is the doctor, you look for qualities in the person that match your image of a doctor. Does he have the characteristics that represent my image of a doctor? That's the way you process that. Even I admit that Trump looks more like a president than Hillary for two reasons. First, Hillary is a woman, and we've never had a woman president. Second, Trump has been polishing and refining his leader image for over a decade on his apprentice shows. Reality TV Trump is a strong leader who's sometimes blunt to the point of rudeness, but who knows how to make the tough decisions. I think we can all agree that Trump is very vivid. Cunning individuals like Trump sometimes flood us with vivid statements and vivid information and vivid behavior to draw our attention away from the boring details and facts about their lives. But if you dig into the boring financial details of Trump's business background, you get a very different picture than the one he tries to present. Trump has gone bankrupt 4 times. This is because he overpaid for his properties and then managed them carelessly. When he owned casinos, he showed no interest in learning even the basics of casino operation. He doesn't learn from his mistakes, partly because he denies he's made them. So we can easily understand why he's an utterly incompetent president. He was an incompetent businessman. Essentially, Trump got the job because he looks the part. Now, that's not a problem if you're a reality TV star, but this isn't reality TV. It's reality. The representativeness heuristic is somewhat difficult to explain. It's kind of hard to get your head around. This next one, the confirmation bias, is easy, thank God. Say you have an opinion or a theory or a point of view or a hypothesis, and you want to see if it's true. The right way to find out is to look for disconfirming information that will allow you to abandon or change your opinions if they're wrong. Say you think Trump would make a good president. You should dig around in his background for information that might contradict this view, for any red flags that might indicate he would not be a good president. I'm not just saying this is a good idea. Our electoral process depends on people doing this, at least a little bit. It's our responsibility as citizens. But if you're committed to a person like Trump, if you're motivated to cling to your prior beliefs, you'll search for confirming information, information that will reassure you that you're right. You'll look for everything you can find to support the idea that Trump will be a great president. This is sometimes called bolstering. As I said earlier, we do this with our friends and loved ones, but we can't afford to do it with our leaders. The concept of dissonance reduction has been around for about 60 years, and it has become a very important, a pivotal theory in social psychology. Cognitive dissonance is a painful state of mind experienced by people who hold contradictory ideas or beliefs, or who are given new information that contradicts their prior beliefs. People try to get cognitive balance. That is, they attempt to make their ideas consistent with one another. If people are motivated to defend their beliefs or choices and not change them, there are a number of cognitive techniques or tricks that they can use to reduce dissonance and still cling to their views or to their candidates. Once people decided to support Trump, some of the things he said and did may have raised questions in their minds about his fitness for the job, which would have created uncomfortable dissonance. The response of some of his supporters was to increase their distrust and hatred of Hillary Clinton to achieve balance. So they could say, well, he may not be perfect, but she's a criminal. That's why in some of his later rallies, they chanted, lock her up. It became a chant, lock her up. Lock her up. I even heard somebody say, execute her. Backfire effects are one manifestation of dissonance reduction. They've been studied recently in the context of fact-checking in political campaigns. As you know, Trump has told a great many lies, both before and after his election. But sometimes, when you would give Trump supporters the truth, they came to believe Trump's lies even more. Now, they didn't simply ignore the truth. They cognitively fought against it. That's why giving them facts that were inconsistent with their misconceptions merely strengthened those misconceptions. This is called the backfire effect. And research has investigated how it happens and the role it plays in intensifying polarized views on public policy questions. Cognitive processes like engaging in mental counterarguments, intentional misrepresentation of opponents' views, denigration of opponents and the authorities they cite, these are the things that produce backfire effects and serve to make Trump supporters even more committed to him over time. They came to view the truth as an attack on their candidate, and by extension, an attack on them. Now, some people have suggested, because of these effects, we should stop fact-checking altogether. I don't agree. Not everyone is subject to backfire effects. Only the most deeply committed partisans. So it's still worth trying to get the facts and present them clearly. They will get through to some people, though they will not get through to the most committed Trump supporters. Processes and biases that I've described caused Trump supporters to become more and more committed to him over time. We can understand this better by looking at the research on escalating commitment. In some situations, you have to make an initial commitment to a course of action or to a candidate, and later you have to make decisions about whether to increase the commitment or cut your losses. Once people have made the initial commitment, they tend to increase commitment later, despite evidence that their first choice was wrong or that their chosen course of action is failing. If you've ever heard the phrase, throwing good money after bad, that's an example. Also the phrase, waist deep in the big muddy. We're more likely to escalate commitment if we've made public statements of our commitment initially. Trump supporters made public commitments to him early on by attending his rallies, by yelling the appropriate slogans at the appropriate times, and talking with other supporters. Once Trump supporters identified with him, their support became part of their own sense of themselves. Thus, their commitment became stronger and stronger till it was unshakable. Even now, October 2017, polls show that around 38% of respondents still approve of Trump's job performance and don't think they made a mistake by electing him. I'm very interested to see how many people stay loyal to Trump as he continues to do his job carelessly and ineptly and to cause great harm to people in this country and elsewhere. In conclusion, I've discussed just a small number of the biases and processes that led to Trump's election. There's a lot more to the story. I have links to research on the processes I discussed in the description of this video, and I would also recommend the Wikipedia.
Okay. I'm done for tonight. And I said at the top of the show I wasn't going to get into an argument. I'm done. But my thing is, I'm not going to read the articles. But my thing, if you're a Trump supporter, knock yourself out. I'm not trying to change nobody's mind or anything like that. I'm just here to report the other side of what's going on. Now, if you want to, you know, Fox noise all day long, conservative radio all day long, whatever. Because like I said, everybody goes through this process. No matter who you are, we all got this issue. We all go through it. So I'm just giving this side because I am tired of the other side. The other side lies, and I'm sick of the damn lies. I'm sick of the hypocrisy. If you think it's okay to lock up kids at the border, separate them from their family, if you think that's okay, that's on you. But please don't sit here and pretend, and I see this shit all the time, how people, they go to church on Sunday from 9 to noon, 9 to 1, whatever. They're holy, they're sanctified, they're whatever for those 3-4 hours. They come out and they do the same thing they did before they walked up in there. And that's what's going on in this country right now. You have a bunch of people on that side that are that surround themselves, you know, they're Trump fans. They pretend that they're Christian when they ain't. I did not say this country was a Christian nation because it's not. But people want you to think that it is, and it ain't. It will never be. Unless you're going to round up all the Muslims, unless you're going to round up all the Buddhists, you're going to round up all the atheists, you're going to round all them up and ship them to wherever, then that might become one, but it's not. But don't sit here and pretend that you're holier than everybody else and you treat people like shit. You separate kids from the parents because you got this some kind of notion that they're coming here to take over the world or whatever. And then you call yourself a Christian? This clown has five kids with three different women. He cheated on all of them. If Barack Obama had five kids with three different wives, he would have never been president. Never. And we know it. So, evangelical, get that crap out of here. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. I mean, it's straight up bullshit. I don't want to hear that. This guy is not a Christian. He says stuff to get these people on his side, and he knows it because they will believe anything he says. Now you got states wanting to get rid of abortion because they use that as a weapon. They will, these same people, you know, if a school got shot up tomorrow, they won't blame it on the gun. They will not regulate a gun, but they will damn sure regulate a vagina. And they do this shit on purpose, and they know they do it on purpose. And the people that follow that crap, they know what they know the deal. Because they want to take us back to a time where they sit and they control what women have no control. And then they make up these stories, babies being killed. Come on. That's murder. But I guarantee you this, if men were the ones around here having these babies, we wouldn't be going through this shit right now. Because men will be able to do whatever the hell they want to do, like they always, like we always do. We wouldn't even be going through this. But this is a wedge issue. They know it, and we know it. And my thing is, women should have the right to do whatever the hell they want to do with their body. Men have no business telling women what to do with their body. Unless that woman is in your family, your daughter, your niece, your whatever, then yeah, you have a say. But if it's some chick that lives halfway around in California and you live in New York, you ain't got no business telling no woman what to do with their body. And Republicans do this shit all the time. So if you want to be a Trump supporter, knock yourself out. If you want to listen to the lies and to all the crap, knock yourself out. But I don't think I'm the only person that thinks otherwise. So he's a phony. He's a fake. He's a fraud. The economy might not have collapsed yet, but we have these trade wars like he wants them to. We're up the creek. And as soon as this shit starts sliding down, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start a war, because that seems to work with Republicans. Whenever you get into a bind, you start a war. And that's what it looks like we're headed toward now. So buckle up for that. I'm past my time. I'm out. Be back next week. I think next week's topic is going to be, why are white people scared of minorities? And they are. They won't tell you. I'm out. Peace.